Jack Keyser hobbles on crutches into a surgery near Johannesburg. The 74-year-old's face is wrinkled, worn, and weathered from a lifetime under the sun as a construction worker and a sailor. Keyser has been diagnosed with stomach cancer. Doctors have told him he has only months left to live. Yet he still considers himself to be lucky. For Keyser is one of the few terminally ill South Africans who have access to palliative care.
I think what we need to do, Jack, the diarrhea has been going on for too long. I think that we need to try and organize a colonoscopy for you.
A volunteer doctor advises Keyser. Here at the West Gauteng Hospice, he's getting medicines for his cancer and a psychologist is counseling him. Nearly all hospices in South Africa are funded by private donors. Keyser says he often thinks of the many South Africans who don't get any palliative care in their final days and die in despair, afraid, lonely and in pain.
I don't know how they handle it if they've got nobody to care for them, to get the medicines. If it wasn't through hospice, there's no way my pension could cover the cost of the medicines that they give me.
The busy reception area of the Wits Hospice in Houghton, Johannesburg. Here, specialist palliative caregivers are looking after 69-year-old Peter Cunnington, who has colon cancer. Before he was admitted to the hospice, general nurses cared for him at hospitals. Cunnington says they were often rough with him and made him feel dirty and ashamed because of his colostomy bag. Weeping, he says the trained palliative caregivers have made him feel human again.
There is an empathy that they feel to draw close to that patient, to try and understand where he's feeling that day. But it's that being aware of and going the extra mile that I will never, ever forget this place for.
At the moment, I think the intestinal problem, the stomach problem, is the bigger one. He still runs.
Specialist palliative nurse Rion Fenter speaks with Keyser and a doctor in his office in West Gauteng Hospice. Fenter says he understands why the government spends most of its health budget on keeping people with infectious diseases such as HIV and tuberculosis alive. But he maintains that it's because these conditions and cancer kill many thousands of South Africans every year that the state should help to fund people dying in the best possible way. Fenter emphasizes palliative care is a basic human right.
At the moment, we're battling to give it to the few who are really suffering. But ultimately, all human beings suffer around death. That is why I firmly believe that palliative care should be available for everybody.
Patients wait to see private physician Wayne Corris. He describes palliative care as a severely neglected aspect of South Africa's healthcare system. Dr. Corris says he learned hardly anything about it at university. He insists it should be a subject at every medical faculty in the country.
It's critical for every doctor, whether you're involved in palliative care or just normal patients, because there will become a point where all of those patients will need palliation. And so it should be prioritized and you should write exams on it as well.
Only one South African university has a postgraduate program in palliative medicine. A few others offer only limited undergraduate courses. Fenter says it's this context that helps to fuel what he calls the astounding all-round ignorance about palliative care in South Africa.
You have medical professionals who phone and ask, now, what is palliative care actually about? And they have no concept.
Because of this ignorance, says Wits Hospice psychologist Cameron Hogg, patients often arrive at hospices at such a late stage that they receive only minimal benefit from palliative care. He says people, including health professionals, stay as far away from hospices for as long as possible until it's too late.
There's a kind of sense, my God, if I engage hospice, I have given up. I have given up hope. I have surrendered to the process, I have thrown in the towel, which is totally incorrect.
Fenter says the lack of knowledge about palliative care doesn't prevent desperate doctors and surgeons from begging him to take their ailing patients.
We find people even in the medical profession who, when the person gets to the stage where the pain becomes complicated and their needs become too entangled to easily manage, then they just don't want to have anything to do with it.
Fenter believes that palliative care and those who provide it remain on the invisible fringes of healthcare in South Africa because the health sector and public associate them with failure.
In the world outside, in the medical world even, we are incredibly isolated. A medical person will speak to us and brush us off because, you know, we're not working with the success stories. But to me, this is the greatest success. If you can die well, what greater thing is there? I'm thinking of a young man.
He says palliative caregivers find it incredibly hard to get funding from donors.
They're more comfortable working with the survivors. But not everybody survives. Those who don't survive die. And they've got to be cared for. And they've got to be cared for in a very special way.
Nurses share a joke and page through medical textbooks. Thanks to a private donation, they're on a course focusing on palliative care. Hogg says the first step towards establishing it as an essential cog in the health system is to teach its fundamentals to all medical students.
It doesn't mean that every doctor, oncologist, and scientist that is intrigued by the logic of life, the one and one makes two, the hard facts of if it's not in front of you, it's not real, are going to understand the non-physical dimension. But they need to honor it, and they need to include it in their management of their patients.
Hogg wants to see a campaign involving various spheres of society to heighten consciousness about palliative care and its value.
So medical aids, insurance companies, all the people that take our money for life should also be taking money and saying, I will invest in a fantastic end of life for you as well. Banks should offer you a fantastic end-of-life investment package.
Hogg maintains South Africa's educators and parents must begin to teach children about the inevitability of death and the need for palliative care. He says as long as there's no demand for it, it'll remain neglected.
If people don't talk about death, if it's the big unspoken, corporations are not going to suddenly be investing in it. When people speak about a subject, people put money into that subject. So we should all be talking about how do you want to die? Have you got a how do you want to die envelope? And what money have you put aside for it and how do you want to do it other than just what coffin do you want and what gravestone?
Fenter is convinced that South Africa cannot call itself a human rights culture if it continues to turn a blind eye to the suffering of its dying. He calls on all hospices, medical insurance firms, public and private health professionals and the government to cooperate to ensure that all South Africans gain the right to quality palliative care. I'm Darren Taylor for VOA News in Johannesburg.